Proverbs chapter 8. No, I don't think we'll be late, but we do need to get into the Word. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, just one verse tonight. You can remain seated, but I do want you to listen to the words of this verse, and then we're going to say it together, all together, and then I'll say it again, since it's just one verse. I really want you to soak it in. There's two parts to this verse. Part one makes part two work. So if you don't have part one, part two won't work. That's the idea there. Okay, so verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 8. Let me read, and then we'll all read together. The Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So let's read it together. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So part one makes part two work. I love them that love me. So our love is what opens up the door or even gives the motivation or the desire to do the last part, which is those that seek me early find me. Now, I would guess tonight that you would fit into the category of somebody who wants to be on the I found the wisdom of God, and I needed it, and God gave it to me. Well, now I think we're going to have, in some ways, a little bit of a formula that'll help you to, you know, just to be sure you're on the right track with that. So let's pray, and we'll talk about this. This is the title: Decide to Seek God Early. Decide to seek God early. That's so critical. It's kind of a play on words. It has a double meaning to it. But I think both of them apply really well in this. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, I pray your blessings tonight again. Help us in this time that we have. We've had a lot of encouraging things said already, but now's the most important time. I mean, we've opened your word and we need to hear from you. So I pray that you do a special work. Help us to have a heart that's open in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, Solomon, I think we need to remember, Solomon's devoted this chapter up until now to provide for his son a kind of motivating list of motivations to gain or to acquire the wisdom of God. He desperately wants his son to have the wisdom of God, but he wants his son to want to have the wisdom of God. And really, that's an important aspect of any growth in your life and in the life of our children, because we want, I think like Solomon, we want our kids to have wisdom. But we want to have wisdom. We want our kids to have wisdom. We want our church family to have wisdom as we look around. And, you know, Mila comes up and I feel like this is like one of my kids, you know, and all of these children, there's these teens that are singing. And I feel like these are all my kids, you know, and I want them desperately. I want them to have the wisdom of God in their life. And so we can relate to Solomon when we say this. Now, there are things that we're going to teach them. I think it's going to help them to have the motivation that's necessary for them to live the kind of life and have the kind of drive and passion. We really need to be passionate about it. I love them who, well, they kind of like me. No. I love them who love me. So we need to be passionate. God is passionate, and his passion pours out on those who are passionate. So we want our kids to be passionate. He's given a list of motivating things. Let me just mention a couple of them. I'll just give you the titles of my sermons in chapter 8 so far. My first message was, God helps you to see past your ability to fulfill a higher calling in your life. And so in those instances, it's when we feel like, I can't preach, I can't do a outreach. By the way, I was once again thinking, while you were doing that outreach like 3 years ago when Brother Tim was still in the realm of, you know, Pastor, I'll never come to church. And you're my friend. We were friends. We were genuine friends all those years, you know. And we had lunch together, but it was always, I'll never come to church. But look what God has done. And I think that all of us need to remember that we all have a story like that. Look what God has already done in your life. Can we all say, without verbalizing it, that you are in a place right now, maybe you're not where you want to be, or maybe you're not where you need to be. Maybe you've backslidden some. But certainly in your life, you have accomplished and done things for God that you never thought that you would. You never saw this as a part of your life before. Well, let's think about that further. and for our kids. God, through His wisdom, can accomplish things that's far beyond what we think of our own abilities. God gives us the ability to do these things. So singing and preaching, but also ministering in other ways, caring about other people more than we care about ourselves. Now, I know that that seems like such a negative thing, but it's such a common thing that and a tendency that we have to care more about ourselves than other people. And we think, I'll never get out of that, but God can help us to give us the ability that we never had. So the next one we did, to pursue a life of God and godliness, but to pursue these things with confidence and to remember that God wants you to value, note this, God wants you to have such a confidence in His wisdom that you value His wisdom more than you value the monetary or the stuff of this life, of this world. Your money, your job, your things. And we're Americans, so we have a lot of stuff. We have barns, and then we have bigger barns because we have so much stuff, we can't store our stuff. And then that's what we have. And so God says it's so important that we value His wisdom more than we value our money and our stuff. The next one we said, to handle challenges in life by learning to look through the lens of the Bible. And we got the spectacles out, took my contacts off, and I thought, well, I should have did this at the end of the message, because every time I take my glasses off, I can't see anybody. But it was a good illustration in the sense that that is us living life, not looking through the lens of the Bible. And so we need to be biblical. Be biblical. Look through the Bible as we make decisions. Then last time we said to run to God's Word for a trustworthy source of the advice that we need in life. How frustrating is it when you have your kids who need to be wise and they're listening to the wrong people? You do not want your kids to listen to their friends when it comes to making important decisions in life. You want them to listen to God. Well, we need that too. And we need to stop, I think some of us, it could be at times, we need to stop listening to some of the people, and can I say it this way too, some of the sources that we expose ourselves to, as far as the media and news outlets and things like that. I mean, these things can be dangerous too, and they can become a source of not only influence, but counsel in our lives. And sometimes we listen to that as opposed to the counsel from God. And so we want our kids, and this is the list that we've dealt with so far, leading us to be motivated, and our kids, hopefully, to be motivated to want God's wisdom. But I think that we can all agree that up until now, it's a pretty big deal. The wisdom of God is a pretty big deal. And we've been sort of beating it like a drum, almost saying some things over and over and over again. But to do that, or in doing that, we're emphasizing how important it is. Okay, right now, you probably can't, it doesn't matter, but I'm right now training for a hike in the Grand Canyon. Probably, you know, I've done that before, and some of you already knew I'm doing that. So, but it's 4 weeks away. This thing's in October, and I've been training all year long. Okay, so I'm running these miles, and so I'm trying to get myself in the kind of shape. Now, am I where I need to be? Not really. You know, I've done it, so I know what I need to be, and I'm not really there. But I'm not where I could be if I didn't train at all. Here's the point that I'm making with this. To do a hike like that, you can't wait until like 2 weeks before and then start training. You're not going to make it. You're not even going to make it to the bottom without being fatigued. So you've got to work towards this. By the way, it's not just exercise. It's also the things that you eat. I talked to a good friend of mine who is really into the nutrition side as well as the exercise side, and he says, you need to eat clean. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, clean your food before you know? He's talking about sugar and fried foods and things. This is not clean. You need to get which is all the things I like, you know? Anything with sugar, and if it's deep fried sugar, then that's like the home run, right? A deep fried Twinkie or something. You can't eat that. It's not clean. It will hinder you to be able to accomplish this thing. So in the same manner, you can't train and start eating right in the last minute. You have to do it leading up to prepare yourself for it. It's the same with wisdom. You can't in the last minute expect that you're going to have everything you need in the wisdom from the wisdom of God if you haven't been seeking it. If you haven't been exercising with it, You're not going to be prepared when the battles come, when the fight comes, when the struggles come, when the enemy comes. And by the way, do you think the devil has given up on his task of trying to destroy us? No, he's working as hard as ever. And so we need to work as hard as ever to be prepared for this. So we need to, like the scripture says, we need to decide that we're going to love God's wisdom. That's what he said there. I love them that love me. So we need to love God's wisdom. What he's saying here is wisdom is only acquired by those who love her. That's kind of an important note. You need to be in love with the wisdom of God. You need to be in love with the wisdom of God. You don't need to like it or appreciate it or you know, from time to time be inspired kind of when you're feeling like it. But then the other times when you don't feel like it, you're kind of lethargic about it. You don't care that much. We can't have that kind of an attitude and expect to have the kind of strength that we need. We need to love it. Often, we fit into the category of this story that I read, which is kind of an irony. It's not something that really happened, but the way that it reads, it kind of draws you in. So let me tell you this story real quick. There's a guy who wanted to get rid of a mouse that was in his house, so he bought all these mouse traps, but he didn't have any cheese. And so instead of getting cheese, he decided to cut little pictures of cheese out of a magazine and put it on the mousetrap. He thought, oh yeah, this will work out. You know, and I sure hope that somebody didn't really do this, but the next day he was surprised when he woke up and he had all these pictures of cheese on the mousetrap that whenever he woke up, the thing was tripped and he had caught an actual paper mouse, a cutout mouse too. And it's an irony. Of course, it didn't happen, but here's the point. I think sometimes that's who we are. And here's what I mean. I mean, we want to love wisdom. We want to have a closeness to God, but our Christian life is kind of phony. We more fit into the paper kind of pursuit of wisdom rather than the reality of it. Here's what God is saying. I love them that love me, and so it implies that it's genuine. You can't have a phony paper kind of pursuit of God and expect to have that wisdom that God desires to give you, to pour out on you on the second part of the verse. So it needs to be genuine. And note this about love. I'm talking about loving the wisdom of God. Can I say this, and I think you would understand that a lot of times it's related to the love that we have to each other because we love God and we love our neighbors. These are the two greatest commandments, Matthew 22. So if you don't love your neighbors, what does it say about your love for God? Well, your words, I love you, Lord, but I hate these other people. It means that your love for God is the paper mouse. It's not real. Okay, so that's the tendency I think that we have sometimes. And we need to remember that the love that God wants us to have for wisdom, because we're talking about I love them that love me, so this is a love that you need to have for the wisdom of God. It's a love that comes from God. I love you because, or you love me because I loved you. So God loved us first, remember? John said that in 1 John. Of course, I quoted it wrong, but I have it here. Let me say it to you. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. But it's so easy to set God aside, isn't it? It's so easy to go through life and just sort of put God on the back burner or on the side burner. It's not that we forgot about God. It's not that we don't care about God. It's just so easy to put him aside and let things like this. I'm just going to throw some things out here. To let things like my church attendance slide. Well, these are manifestation. Watch, these aren't me giving you a hard time and not wanting you to feel like your pastor has grace. I want to be gracious, but I want you to see that this is one of the things, church attendance is one of the things that we, I think, have a tendency to put on the side burner or even on the back burner too easy. We let it happen too easy. We didn't quit. We're not planning to quit. We just put it on the side, and it's too easy. Too easy to do that. Serving in ministry. Well, you know, I serve by just being here. And you know, there is some truth to that. Because what does Hebrews 10:24 say? And 25 says that God wants us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But why? because we need to exhort each other. We need to be encouraged, but we need to encourage. So that's ministry. To come to church and to encourage, I mean, you are ministering in that sense. But can I say it like this? And I think that it's so important. I said it to you men on Saturday morning at men's breakfast. I said that you need to have a ministry that, I didn't say it like this, but I did say this. You need to have a ministry that has your name on it. I mean, you need to have a ministry in the church that belongs to you. And because what that ends up doing, it's not the only thing you need in church, but it is it's a very important part of you not just feeling connected, but belonging. And being a part of what God's doing here in the ways that God wants you to. Now, we're not all going to have the same roles in ministry, but you do need to have a ministry that has your name on it. But we sometimes set that on the side or on the back burner. Too easy. Oh, you know, I'll get to a ministry down the road. But we don't. We just kind of put it on the side. How about giving offerings? Sometimes we let our tithes slide. We let our missions giving slide. We don't commit like we should to missions giving. By the way, we gave $1,000 to missionaries. I would have loved to have given more, but that's okay. We gave $1,000. How were we able to do that? Because I had an extra $1,000? No, because you gave to that missions offering. It gave us the ability. But sometimes we let those things slide. We don't give like we should. We don't give the special offerings. And we say things like, well, I can't afford it. But here's what, here. And sometimes it's true. And so let's note that. But sometimes it's us putting God on the side or on the back, and we do it too easy with our giving sometimes. Sometimes it's our Bible reading. And can I say that this is probably the biggest one? Our personal time with God. You need to have personal time with God. Do you know why it could be that you're backslid and you're not on fire for God and you're struggling so much? Because you don't read your Bible like you should. You don't pray like you should. And I'm not talking about you didn't read your Bible, and I'm hopeful that all of us do that. But you don't read it like you should. Can I say that if you get to the end of your Bible reading and you do not remember one thing that you read, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. And it happens to all of us, and I'm not judging you about this because it happens to all of us. But do you know what I do in those times? And let me encourage you about this. If you get to the end of the day and you didn't get anything out of your Bible reading, then just either read it again right then if you have time, or read the same passage tomorrow. Don't just go on. If you're reading, I'm going to read through my Bible in a year, and that's okay. That's a great goal. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But if you read today's devotion, you didn't get anything out of it, then read it again tomorrow. If you didn't get it, how many days in a row? It doesn't matter. I have read the same day for 5 days in a row because it just wasn't sinking in like it should. Usually it's happening in like Isaiah or Ezekiel or something. I'm like, I did not get anything out of that. So I'll just read it again. I don't have to finish it in 365 days. It's okay if it's more like 500 and something days. It's okay. I just want to get it. And that's so important for you to make sure that when you're reading your Bible, you're getting it. And we just let those things slide, don't we? We set God, and maybe you're not so much to say that you're not going to read your Bible or the proverb of the day or put your headphones on and listen to the Bible, but we're not getting much out of that either. And so we set it on the side and we do it too easy. And then we become sort of cold and we're not as excited as we should be. The fire isn't there. We're like this what this guy experienced in Texas who needed his dry cleaning done, and he pushed it off, procrastinated, which we all do, and he needed to get the dry cleaning done, and he found online this dry cleaning place called 1 Hour Dry Cleaning. Remember those 1 Hour photo things, which is kind of a joke now because we have cell phones. You know, get your photos in an hour. You're like, whoa, this is big stuff, you know, for an hour. Anyway, 1 Hour Dry Cleaning. He shows up, gives the dry cleaning, fills out the ticket, and says to the lady across the counter, hey, listen, I am going to need this in an hour. I need to get on a flight and get out of here. She says, oh, it's going to be Thursday. I can't get this day. This is going to be a couple days. He's like, what are you talking about? 1 hour dry cleaning. And she said, oh, no, we never do it in an hour. That's just the name of the store. Okay. But isn't that not how our Christian life is sometimes? We're saved, we're baptized, we're Christians, but we're not really what we say we are. We're not what we should be. And sometimes I think we we just sort of are okay with that, and we shouldn't be. We put God on the side too easy. Well, Solomon is trying to teach his son that if you want to have the wisdom of God, that's going to give you everything you need in life to be the person that God wants you to be, then you're going to have to love the wisdom of God. And when you have that kind of love for the wisdom of God, then here's what God does. He will, through that, give you a sort of motive. You'll be inspired to seek Him. And I love how he said it. Seek me early. Look at verse 17. Those that think, so we love wisdom. And then he said, those that seek me early shall find me. So wisdom is acquired by those who genuinely love her, but they seek her early. I love that word early. Don't you? One amen. Some of us don't like the early things. You know, it could be that when you read that word early, it's referencing like getting up early and seeking God first in the day. And did you know it's really okay to apply it that way? It's not directly what it's talking about, but it's perfectly okay to apply this that way. Because you should seek God the first thing you do in the day. The first thing you do when you roll out of bed, I mean, it could be that brushing teeth and getting some coffee. That might be a good thing to do very first. But, I mean, before you launch into the day, seek God. Did you know what's going to give you a desire to even do that? Loving wisdom. You love wisdom. And God, through that, gives you the desire to want to get up in the morning and to want to put God first in your day, which is important. Seek me early. But can I tell you what I think the main application of this is? That God wants us to seek Him early in the process. He wants us to seek Him early when we're approaching a decision. For example, our young people. They're young. Don't we want them to serve God starting now? Don't wait until you're my age. Don't wait until you get where I was when I started serving God. No, no, no. Serve Him early. That's a good application here. Early in life, early in the process of life. No, it's not okay to sow your wild oats. No, it's not okay to, you know, do the partying thing and hang out with this group for this time. And then eventually what you'll do is you'll turn away from that and you'll start serving God. Here's what God says. No, don't serve me or seek me later. He says, seek me early. So early in life. How about you and I right now? You're like, well, Pastor, I'm not really young anymore. Amen. But God hasn't taken you home yet. And so that means there are years to come, potentially. For some of us, a lot of years. So what does that mean as it applies to you and me? Start serving God now and don't wait another year or 6 months or 2 years or any time. Start now. Seek Him early now. What's going to give you the motive to do that, though? Loving wisdom. Fall in love with wisdom. Fall in love with wisdom. How about early in the process? We need to make decisions in life, right? So we need to make a decision about, you know, for example, our kids, where am I going to go to college? Well, let's start praying about it now. Let's start thinking about it now. Let's start seeking God early in the process of decisions that we need to make. What's going to make you motivated to seek God early as it relates to decisions that you need to make in life? Loving wisdom. Loving wisdom. You know, I think sometimes we say, you know, I'm going to pray about that, but then we don't. Did you know there's things that we need to pray about a long time before we do it? But we don't, because we're not seeking Him early. And why aren't we seeking Him early? Because we don't love wisdom like we should. You start loving wisdom, God says He will give you something. He will give you a desire to seek Him early. Early in the morning. Yeah, early in the day. Early in the process. Early in the week. Early in the year. Whatever. But early as it relates to the decisions that you need to make. How neat is it whenever you come in, and I know that we've all done this, you come into a decision that you've been praying about for a long time. and you have full confidence, and you've seen God open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors, and you're like, whoa, this is so amazing. Look at God. Look what God has done. And you give, God gets all the glory for that. Why? Because you sought Him early. We need to do that in life. We need to seek God early. You know, there is a, I was thinking about this. Would my wife have married me if she found out that I didn't like her that much? Wouldn't that be weird? Why would I want to marry him? But just think about it with me. Would a lady marry a guy if she didn't think that he really loved her? Well, she's not going to give herself to somebody that doesn't really love her. The imagery is similar, to, I think, to what God is saying here. If you decide that you're going to fall in love with me, there's something I want you to know, that I'm going to love you. And He's going to give you, He's going to give you something that you need, and that is a desire to seek Him early in these decisions that we need to make. Seeking Him early is so important in the day. Seeking Him early in the process, and not waiting until you fall down into the vortex of your own bad decisions. Okay, God, I'm in the belly of the whale. Okay, God, I'm eating with the pigs, because the prodigal son, they had to go all the way down before they sought the Lord. That's the opposite of seeking Him early. But that's so typical of where we are, generally speaking. Can I encourage you tonight, as we close, to stop running away from the call and the working and the touch of God? And don't let it be okay that you're putting God on the side, and you're putting God on the side, and God's saying, hey, listen, you need to love me. Don't put me on the side. Don't put me on the back burner. Put me at the front and love me, and I'll give you the leadership that you need. Listen, I'll give you the guidance that you need. I'll give you the motivations and the inspiration that you need to make the right choices. God says, you love me, I'll love you. Seek me early, and you'll find me. And you'll have the wisdom of God as you go through life. And you won't have to go all the way down and then decide, you know what, I'll serve you. Okay, God, it's so bad. I don't want this anymore. I'll serve. You don't even have to get there, because you sought Him early. I hope that's you tonight. I hope that's your desire. And it could be that you're struggling with your love. Maybe you need God to touch you there. You've put God on the side or on the back burner. Maybe you need God to touch you there. Let's seek the Lord tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. I pray your blessings and grace as we seek to respond in obedience. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your word. I pray for your help tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's